Seasick is opening on Friday at the festival at the Carriage Works, a lot going on down there. Seasick is a one-woman show by writer, well, science writer, journo, performer, Canadian Wonder Woman, who's in the studio with us to have a chat. Alana Mitchell, welcome to Stages.
Oh, thank you.
Wow. So you wrote this as a novel first.
It was a non-fiction.
A non-fiction, I mean.
Piece,
yeah, not a novel. Yeah. So, but is it now a fiction?
No.
It's not.
It's a non-fiction play.
It's a non-fiction play as well. Okay. Yeah. From your study of the ocean.
Right.
And what's going on underneath.
Yes.
What is going on?
Well, it's really about, I mean, what I do as a journalist is hang around with scientists, often on boats.
Great. Sounds fun.
Yeah. And spent a few years doing that and just finding out what they are finding out about the ocean. So the play is just a tale of all these adventures.
Oh.
I wrote a book that is the same, you know, called the same thing, called Seasick. So this play is based on all of these adventures I did with scientists all over the world, and with some other research too from earlier books. We sort of, along with two artistic directors, Franco Bonney and Ravi Jain, who are both in Toronto with me, we converted it into a play.
And wow. So it's a one-woman show, so it's basically a very long monologue. Is that what
it's just me on stage for, you know, roughly an hour. Yeah.
And the title Seasick, which means the sea is sick. What is the sickest thing about the ocean that you've discovered through the book and the play?
It's a combination of three things. Scientists call it call the ocean warm, breathless, and sour. And all of those are the effects of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere that gets dissolved into the ocean. The ocean's a big sponge. It soaks up all this carbon dioxide, and then there's a chemical reaction between the water and the carbon dioxide gas that, you know, that changes the chemistry of the ocean. And at the same time, the ocean is absorbing a bunch of the heat. It becomes the great repository of much of the heat that
Wow.
is being held against the body of the ocean, against the body of the planet by the extra CO2 in the atmosphere. So there's a sort of, you know, evil troika of things that are happening to the ocean as a result of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And it's one of the things that we don't typically talk about when we talk about climate change. You know, we talk all the time about what's happening to weather patterns and climate and all that kind of stuff, but we don't.
And plastics. And
plastics in the ocean we talk about overfishing, we talk about a bunch of different things to do with the ocean. But the thing that keeps scientists awake at night is this warm, breathless, sour combo.
Mm. Is it because it's a visual thing as well, the ocean? It's a beautiful blue and, you know, it looks kind of serene, whereas we can see more effects on Earth and in the sky and in the weather patterns and that sort of thing. Is it a bit because it's invisible, because visibly it looks all right?
Yeah, it's hidden. It's a hidden, you know, it's secret almost. Mm. And scientists too have come only recently to understand what's going on with this chemical change. For a long time, they just thought, you know, that the water is just, the ocean is so vast. How could we humans possibly affect its basic chemistry?
Mm.
And so for a while, they just thought that it wasn't possible. But in the last, I'm going to say 10, 15 years, they've realized that things are much, much, much worse than they expected on that front.
So how did you go to putting this on the stage? Is it kind of part TED Talk, or is there a kind of a narrative, or you're telling stories of each experience, or what's the...
It's very much a narrative. I know they're really sophisticated TED Talks, but this feels really different from a TED. I've done a TED Talk, a TEDx Talk. I've done a lot of lectures, and this is something quite different. It's a real experience, I think, for the audience. I mean, this is me on stage telling stories, because I'm a journalist and that's what I do. I tell stories. So it's very much driven by the language and driven by the narrative of, you know, how this little kid from the Canadian prairies ended up, you know, piecing together this picture of global importance, I guess, and sort of I am on a journey with you. You are on a journey with me. We're going along with the scientists, and there's a lot of really funny stuff in it. I mean, it's there's quite a lot of fun.
Do you get seasick as well?
I don't.
Out on the boat?
As it turns out, I don't. No. I'm one of those rare people who never gets seasick. But it's quite funny, actually, the play in places, and I suppose there's quite a lot of fodder for thinking.
And you know, people are exhausted. They say they're exhausted.
Yes.
So do we come out of the play more exhausted and depressed, or do we have some hope for the sea?
I was at one point when I was doing the research for this play and for the book, I was really, really depressed. And I didn't think that I would ever do any of this stuff. I thought that it would just... And then somehow, well, I had an epiphany, which I describe in the play, that made everything change for me. And so what I'm trying to do in the play is take the audience through that same epiphany. So I'm not sure if hope is precisely what you come out with. You might come out with a new understanding of how our species could approach this issue. I've had people, we've been performing this play now for 4 years in different parts of the world, and there's been just a huge range of reactions to it, but one of them is often just intense relief. Mm-hmm. You know, in the audience, in Toronto, we did a couple of runs of it, and there were people who were just in tears of relief, as if somehow they had stepped over a mountain and figured out something had fallen into place for them. So I don't want to spoil the ending of my play. I hope that it takes the aim for is for it to take the audience on quite an intense emotional journey that I think is quite cathartic.
And did you go over, you've been working on it for so many years in the writing of the book in the first place, did you go across many different oceans?
I did. I spent 3 years with scientists and 13 journeys all over the place, including, I think, one or two.
What was the most extreme experience that you had? Are they long sessions out on boats?
For me, long. I mean, for scientists, sometimes scientists spend months on a boat, but for me, there were a few that were fairly lengthy. I think the most profound one was going to the bottom of the ocean in a submersible, down to 3,000 feet, which is one of the things I describe in the play. And it was just, I believe I'm the only journalist who's gone that deep. It's not not easy to get on.
Dark down there.
It's dark. It's cold.
And did you see those weird fish? You know, that have lights and
absolutely.
You did.
Are they real? I thought it was an animation.
Bioluminescent. As you travel down or up through the water, you know, as you move, all these creatures that are bioluminescent move, and as they move, they just light up, and so you're actually ascending through this great. It's like being in a sky with all these things just blinking on as you move up through your own motion. It's just fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds incredible. Are you using like theatrical devices? Are you using film or
no? Music? You know what? Music. There's music. There's a soundtrack, and there is a whole lighting. You know, it's quite a
world.
We have these amazing people who worked on the play, and the lighting designer has created this whole world that is almost, you know, at different times the sphere, the earth, the submersible, the ocean. It's quite fun in that sense, but we decided not to do visual images apart from just me on stage. It's a very simple set. And we just wanted to use the ancient art of narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very compelling. It's, we're already so visually overstimulated in so many parts of our lives. We just wanted me on stage telling stories.
Yeah.
And that's what seems to work.
And you're taking a science sort of document and also making it personal as well.
Yeah, it's very much a personal story. This is a much more personal piece of writing, because I wrote I'm the playwright for this as well, so this is a much more personal piece of writing than the book. The book was pretty personal.
Okay.
You know, in the sense that it's in first person and all that kind of stuff, but this is much more intensely
personal. Reactionary, your personal feelings about it?
No, I think it's more about why I did this, because, you know, we have this experience of, I would go around and talk about this play. I've been doing that since the book came out.
Yeah.
Right. I did a ton of it here in Australia when the book came out. So, and the book was launched here in Australia. In fact, there's a real personal reason for me to be here.
Oh.
But at the Brisbane Festival. But the play, I think the audience needs to know why it's me standing there telling them this stuff, because it's not just coming out of the ether. There's a reason why I did this research, the reason why I think about the world in these ways, which has to do with how I was brought up. I was just, I'm the child of a biologist father and a painter mother, and somehow they've married, you know, and much of my career as a journalist has been to try to marry
that inside yourself as well.
Yeah. And did you love the sea? Did you always have
an I hate the sea.
You hate it? Oh, okay.
No, I mean, I love it. Biologically, it's, you know, it's critical, but I almost drowned when I was a small child, about 3 years old. I was, my father reached in and saved me. And I think somehow that has stayed with me, and I am terrified of boats. And I mean, a kid from the prairies. So there wasn't, so of course I love, you know, the fact of the ocean, and I respond to being near the ocean. I respond to that, but I am terrified of being in it.
Is the humor coming from? I wonder whether scientists have humor, because it's all about factual and kind of, you know, how do you bring out the humor in it? Is it personal?
Yeah. The humor is personal. What the scientists have is passion. That's what has been so fascinating to me in you know, this journey of speaking with them. Mm. They are doing this because they need to understand. They just need to understand it. Mm. And that's kind of what drives me as well, except that I need to understand it, but I also need to explain it.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Alana Mitchell, science journalist, writer, performer, out here again from Canada with her one-woman show, Seasick, playing at the Carriageworks from the 19th to the 22nd of January.